Good morning. It's time to get started. So 2 Samuel chapter 1. We're moving to 2 Samuel this morning. Good to see you here. We appreciate your being here. Jerry's back. Steve's back. Lorenzo Nana's back. So all our world travelers are back home. So. All right, we're talking this morning about Saul's death again. David learned about it, and then so about David starting his reign. So before we actually get into 2 Samuel 1, let's back up to the last chapter a little bit. Talk about Saul's death. Saul and Jonathan are in a battle with the Philistines. What's happened to Saul? Who got to him first? Archers got to him, shot him, and then he's about to die. And he asked his armor bearer to do what? He asked the armor bearer to kill him, and he refused to do it because of who he was. And so Saul fell on his own sword to kill himself. When the armor bearer saw that, he fell on his sword and killed himself. So that's important to know, because if we get into this morning, a little different twist on that story. So let's look at the map, kind of see where we are. This is a big open map, so it's kind of hard to pin things down. But remember, we started out in the middle part of the country here. Here's Gibeah, that's Saul's hometown, this area of Benjamin here. We've been all down the south. David run in here to Engedi. We talked about that. Maon and Carmel, where he, Nabal and married Abigail. Ziklag, where he hid from Saul when he went to Philistine territory. Remember that. With Philistines over here, the Amalekites down here. And then we went up, we've been to Jabesh-Gilead the one time back early in the story. Today we get up here again, now called Mahanaim. Up here in the Jezreel Valley, where the battle went on. Here's Mount Gilboa. We've been up that part of the country too. So we'll see some more maps as we get into it and kind of piece this thing together where we are as we go through the land. So, 2 Samuel. We talked about, remember that 1 Samuel, about Saul mainly, was getting 2 Samuel, we're going to be on David, even though we've had David in the picture now. David's reign starts in 2 Samuel. So, first chapter of 2 Samuel, David comes back to Ziklag. Well, he comes back to Ziklag from where? Where's he been? He went up, was going to go up with the Philistines, remember, up to the Jezreel Valley and fight against Israelites. The Philistine commanders would have nothing of it, unless he turned the other way and fight for the Philistines and against them. So they made David go back home, back home to Ziklag, Philistine city where he was staying, hiding from Saul. So he comes back to Ziklag. He's there 2 days. Well, get another piece in there. He's also been down and fought the Amalekites, remember, who had burned the city down. So he's back to Ziklag now. After 2 days, and then 3rd day, this young man comes in there with his clothes torn, dirt on his head, and he's come to the battle. He comes to report to David what went on in the battle with the Philistines and the Israelites. So when he comes in, he bows before David, knowing who he is, and David asks him, "Where's he come from?" He says, "Well, I've escaped from the battle. I came here to give you a report of battle, how things are gone." So David, obviously anxious about it, wanted to know, said, "What happened? Tell me what happened." And he said, "It's bad. It's bad. Many have fled, many have fallen, many are dead. And the bottom line, punchline is what? Saul is dead and Jonathan is dead." Okay. So David, of course, in the big scheme of the battle, this question to him was, "How you know Saul and Jonathan are dead?" Okay. This is where the little young man gets in trouble. He says, "Well, I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, which we've already looked at last time before the battle took place. And there was Saul leaning on his spear. He had been hurt. He had been shot with an arrow. He was just about dead. And he saw me coming behind him. He asked me who I was. I told him I was a Amalekite. And he said, come over me, stand over me, and kill me. Now, pause a minute. What did we just talk about from 1 Samuel 31? Didn't quite go that way, right? But his own sword, because his armor bearer went to it. But this Malachi comes in here, and he tells this story that Saul asked him to kill him. And he said, I'm not dead. And he said, I looked at him. I knew who I was going to live. He couldn't survive. So he said, I did what he asked. I killed him. And I've got the crown and the armband, and I brought it here to you, my Lord. He referred to David. So how does David react to that? Saul his enemy, right? Yeah. Gotta keep remembering that, don't we, Freddy? He's the Lord's anointed. And with Saul going down, who else went down? The nation did. Well, Jonathan did, but the nation did too. Okay, so David is very, very, very sad. So he rends his clothes, he weeps, fasts, and because Saul's dead, Jonathan's dead, and the house of Israel has fallen to their enemy, the Philistines. So then David asked the young man again, heard what he was talking about, asking who he was, the Malachi. That was Saul asking, he's about to kill him. Now David's asked him again, who are you now? He said, well, I'm the son of a sojourner. I'm a stranger in the land. I'm the son of a Malachi. So David says, weren't you afraid to lift your hand against the Lord's anointed? Okay. How many times did David have his opportunity against the Lord's anointed and wouldn't do it, wouldn't kill him, wouldn't hurt him, wouldn't harm him? So he asked this young man, said, weren't you afraid to do anything to him? Now, you say, well, he's a foreigner in the land. What do you know about Saul and all that stuff? Well, he knew enough to bring the word back to David, right? So he knew something about the people in the land and the politics, if you will, who's in power and who's coming to power and all this kind of stuff. He knew enough about what's going on and who Saul was. And so David asked him, you destroyed the Lord's anointed. The whole point is, we'll get to later in the class, is, did he really do this? Not according to 1 Samuel 31, he didn't. Okay. So why is he saying all this? Why does he come back and tell David all this? Yeah, and as far as everybody else knew, what's the relationship between David and Saul? They're enemies. Where's David been living? Philistine territory. Why? To get away from Saul, because Saul's been trying to kill him, right? So, by reporting back that I killed Saul for you, what's he done? Man, he favor with David. Looked good to David's side here. So he came back and told David all this about how he had killed Saul. David said, you destroyed the Lord's anointed. Your blood be on your own head. What David have done? When you young men come here and execute him, your own mouth, your own words, that proves you're guilty. But David had him killed because he had killed Saul. At least as far as David knew, he had. Oh, no, all his men, right. Yeah, good point. Okay, yes. Yeah, it wasn't just David that was weeping and got it. Kill Saul, right. But it's not just Saul and Jonathan. You've got to think about the whole nation that had gone down here. People have fled. The Philistines have moved into their cities and we're living in their cities and all this now. So it's like this is major defeat for Israel this time. So David has this young man killed because of what he had said he had done to Saul. And the last part of this chapter, and I do it loud. Freddie, you're good loud. I think I'm Doug for being loud last time. Turn to the last half of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's read this lament here that David wrote for Saul and for Jonathan and for the nation falling. He even said he wanted to talk to the people of Judah. Not just here it is, read it one time. He said, I want to talk to them. they would know it. It's written in this book of Jasher. It starts in about verse 17, I think, chapter 1, 2 Samuel 1. I guess about verse 17, where that lament starts that David wrote. You can read that the rest of the chapter, please. He says, don't tell it in the streets of Gath and Ashkelon. Why would you not want to talk about it there? Because they're going to rejoice and have a party over it because they've won the battle here. And then he puts this almost curse, if it were, on Mount Gilboa because of that. He talks about the kind of the middle of it there about Saul and Jonathan and how great they were, swift as eagle, this. I've got four words exactly, but he makes very high compliments about Saul and Jonathan in the middle part of it there. And then he comes down again toward the end and really talks about Jonathan and their friendship there. So this lament that David had because of, not just Jonathan dying, because of Saul also. It includes him all through it here, where he's heard of that. There's also I'm not going to read Psalms 18. It's 50 verses. There's a short version, but this is long. Read it sometime. It's again thought to be about this same point in time that David wrote this, about this same thing. We'll look at this one verse there though, almost exact quote, exact words from one of the Psalms we sing. Verse 3 here, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The verse out of Psalms 18 there, that's almost like the exact words from one of our Psalms. Okay. Now, we've got a new city here that we haven't talked about before, that David's fixing to be involved with. And to find out where it is, remember, here's in Gedi, the spring over here, the Dead Sea, and Carmel and Maon, where Abigail was from down here. This road right here, this is Ziph. We've had them a couple of times. They would tell Saul where David was. It's the road that goes up the top of the mountain ridge down through here, up to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Here's Hebron. That's the city where David's going to reign for the next, 7.5 years, I think it is, where he reigns out of Hebron there. So, learn that city where it is, right on top of the mountain ridge there, kind of in the middle of the country. David goes back and does that little four-word thing, inquire of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord again. We've talked about this over and over. Now he's gone back. That practice, I'm going to see it very regularly here through several things we do. It requires the Lord, should I go up to one of the cities of Judah? Well, why would he ask that? Where's he been living? Ziklag in the Philistine territory now. So now, why would he ask about going back to Judah? Why did he leave Judah to start with? Who's been chasing? Who's been trying to kill him? Saul has. Okay, well, where's Saul now? Saul's dead, right? So I go back to Judah now. I don't need me to hide in Philistine territory anymore. I don't need me to hide in Ziklag. So he inquires the Lord, shall I go back to one of the cities of Judah? The Lord says, yeah, I'll go. And he said, well, where? He says, go to Hebron. So David and his wives and all the men and all their families, they go to Hebron to live now because Saul is dead, not chasing after him anymore. Now they'd be on the Philistine territory. So he goes there. And at Hebron, all the men of Judah come together and they anoint David as their king. So now Saul is dead. I need a king. Now, I go back to Genesis 49. Read that verse, 49:10. It's prophecy back in Genesis 49:10. That's when we go through and teach in Genesis. It's one of those key verses that you need to learn from Genesis about David and about the tribe of Judah. Now, David hadn't come on the scene. David, this is way, way, way back before David's time. But David is from the tribe of Judah. Might read 49:10. Right. He's said each one of his sons, what's going to happen to him down the road and things like this. Yes. Okay. Prophecy that the scepter, the ruling rod, would not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Shiloh, of course, means peace. Christ, the Prince of Peace. Long-term prophecy that Christ would come from the tribe of Judah. David's from the tribe of Judah. This starts the lineage. We start looking at it now from David going all the way up to Christ. David's going to be announced the prophet, made king. And his son Solomon will be. We'll get to 2 Samuel chapter 7 here shortly, which is another most got-to-know type chapter that fits in this whole prophecy line here of the prophecy of Christ through David, the tribe of Judah. So all the way back to Genesis 49:10, when Jacob on his deathbed, telling about all of his sons, what happened to him. He picks out Judah and says, that's where the lawgiver's coming from. Okay? Alright. Going back to 1 Samuel 31 again. After Saul had been killed, and the Philistines had cut his head off and whatever, what did the men of Jabesh Gilead come do? Remember that last time? They come get their bodies. They burned them, took the bones then, and buried them. They showed the proper respect for Saul and his three sons. But David hears about that. He's told about what the men of Jabesh Gilead had done. And so he sends messengers up there, sends the Lord's blessings to them. May the Lord bless you, and I will show you kindness. I'll repay you that kindness when I have the opportunity. So the men of Jabesh Gilead had done well by showing honor to Saul and who he was and to his son Jonathan and give them a proper burial, if you would. And so he also tells them then, keep in mind, Jabesh Gilead is way up the north across the river on the east side. He tells them that the men of Judah have made him king now in the place of Saul. All right. Now, I'm going to set David aside for a few minutes. We got to go back and pick up some of the loose ends over here. We got a new town to introduce. Somebody, Jabesh Gilead. Here's Jabesh Gilead way up here in the north, up in this area up here. This is the Jordan River. Here's Jericho down here to give you an idea kind of where you are. That's Benjamin Plateau area. There's Ramah where Samuel was from. So right up across the river, where the Jabbok River comes in there, is where they think the site of a town called Mahanaim was. And that's where we're going to pick up the story next here. So, Abner was commander of Saul's army. Remember that? Remember Abner, he was commander of Saul's army. So, Saul is dead. So he takes one of Saul's sons, Ishbosheth, and Mahanaim, and he's going to make him king. And that would be a logical thing to do. He wants to preserve the heritage through Saul. After all, he could be the commander of the army still here. So, he makes him king over Israel, if you will, the northern part, with David king over Judah. That's not the divided kingdom yet, but it's kind of, it is divided right now for about 7 years here. Ishbosheth is 40 years old. He reigns 2 years. So Saul's son, Ishbosheth, with Abner, the commander of the army, is now king over kind of the northern part of the country, while David is in the south. So now there's a strife that goes on, a civil war, civil battles, if you will, between the forces of Abner and the descendants of Saul and David and his forces. So they're going to joust back and forth for quite a period of time here. So we've got to get another town in here. All right, but back to the central area again. Here's Gibeah, G-I-B-E-A-H, which was Saul's hometown. Remember that? So here's Gibeah here, and Jerusalem down here, just for reference. The town here called Gibeon, G-I-B-E-O-N, almost like Gibeah, it's Gibeon. That's where we're going to be next here. And here's a picture. The top left is the ruins of that area. And this is what they think this pool was that we're going to describe here in this next scene we're going to be talking about here. This is Gibeon and the pool there. So Abner and some of the men from Saul's descendants, from Ishbosheth, come together and they meet with Joab. No, they get Joab in mind. Joab's commander of David's army. So you got Joab commanding David's army, Abner commanding what was Saul's army. Now Ishbosheth is the king there. They come together at his pool. They're sitting on opposite sides of it, and they're ready for some kind of battle, but it's not like just army against army, the whole thing here. They're sitting on opposite sides of it and have this showdown. So they pick 12 young men from each side to come out and do battle. And I'm not sure I got this quite right in my mind to understand what happened. But you got 12 against 12. It says they go out and grab them. One version says by the beard, grab each other. The other says by the head. And they thrust each other through with their spears or with their daggers there. And what I look at it is each one grabbed the other one and they all kill each other. Now, I don't know if I get it quite right or not. In the end, David's forces are going to win. But right now, it seems like in this, they just all go out there and lock heads, and with these short daggers, they kill one another. This is how they got the battle started out here, with this 12 against 12, if you will, out here, around this pool here at Gibeon. So, from there though, here he goes, grab each other by the head, thrust the dagger through. So this place is called the Field of Daggers then, from then on. But then though, the fighting is very, very fierce. It's not just the 12 on 12, I mean it, explodes into the whole armies against armies here. And it gets rough. David's men are winning. But now we get the story of Asahel and Abner. Big battle going on. There's three sons of Zeruiah, this woman that's got three sons. He's David's sister. So Joab, who's the commander of David's army, is his nephew, is that right? My relationship right here. So David's sister's son is commander of the army. He's got two other brothers, Abishai and Asahel. So it's three brothers here. I think things all get confusing. Now Asahel is fast, really, really fast, like a gazelle, it says. So when the battle gets going on, and Abner, the commander of David's army, flees and starts running, Asahel starts chasing after him. Alright. So Asahel chasing after Abner, and Abner turned around and asked him, Asahel, is that you following me? Is that you chasing after me? And Asahel says, it is. And Abner warns him, says, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Of course, he's an experienced warrior, commander of Saul's army. He says, go back and find you somebody else. I'm with the other young men. Kill them and take the spoils from them. Turn around. Let me alone. He doesn't do it. He still keeps chasing after Abner. Now you got to picture this scene. They're running. Abner's in the front. Asahel's behind. Asahel's very, very fast. He's catching up with Abner. What does Abner do? They have him turn around. He takes his spear, takes the backside of his spear, and just thrusts it back so that it comes out the backside of Asahel. like his. As he's running and chasing him, he doesn't use the sharp end of the spear. He just thrusts the back end through him. That hard, so hard that it comes out. Of course, you got Azahel's force coming and stopping and jabbing through there. So it goes always through his body and comes out his back. So Abner has now killed Asahel. Now keep in mind, Asahel is the brother of Joab and Abishai. That's going to be important to remember here a little later on. So when all the men come running up, David's men, and they come to where Asahel is, they're dead because Abner's killed him, they all stop. So they're concerned about Asahel. But Joab and Abishai come up and they don't stop, even though that's their brother. They're after Abner. They go and all of Saul's men get on top of one of the mountains. They stop and they line up for battle and Joab is coming up to them and Abner calls out and says, Joab, how long is this going to keep on with brother chasing brother? And Joab stops, blows the trumpet, and calls off the battle. Think about it. These are Israelites killing Israelites. Mainly men from Benjamin, I guess the men from Judah. Which is all of Saul's followers there, the tribe of Benjamin. I guess those from the tribe of Judah. So Joab calls it and calls off the battle. Okay. So Abner takes his men. They go home back across the river and back up to Mahanaim, the right side in the east. And Joab and his men march all night. They get back to Hebron. They've taken Asahel and buried him in Bethlehem, which of course is David's hometown. They get through and count up. There's been a total of 20 of Joab's being killed. Well, of course, this is brother Asahel, and 360 of Abner's men. They've been killed the same day. So, civil war, Israelites against Israelites. All right. That's kind of covering the text here. Thoughts, comments, anybody? We'll talk about some of the things that's in here. David, I walked by the classroom this morning and Anna asked me, I'm sorry, oh, I missed her. That's the wrong way. Anna asked me what Bible you pick out a Bible character, what character I like to be. I mean, we've been studying about Saul and David. Of course, David's a man after God's own heart. We learned it later on. I don't know if I will be David enough. He's been through a rough, rough, rough time. This first part of his life here. Fought Goliath. I mean, it'll be traumatic to think about that. All this running from Saul, all he's been through. So David's been had a very, very rough time. Okay. I'm sorry. If we had to go to what David did, knowing that way back when God had anointed you to be king, right? Samuel anointed him way back then. All this he's going through now, running from Saul, all this stuff. When, Lord, when's it going to happen? Okay. Oh, yeah. Yep. And he didn't until he got where he could be defeated, which we'll get in that'd be Wednesday night's lesson. He does come to David and say, okay, it's time to make peace here. But yeah, he had a thing for David. You're right.
Kind of
Oh, no, no, no. And I meant to point that out. Good point. He's setting a target up over there so he can be in control, right? He's got a name of Saul. The sin of Saul is on the throne, but he's in charge. That's what I get out of it. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's look at a couple of things here. Let's talk a bit about what this young man's lying did. Okay? Why did he tell this lie? We'll talk about that a little bit through here. Why did this young Amalekite tell this lie to David? Build himself up to be somebody special, somebody he wasn't. He hadn't killed Saul. Now, how he got the crown and stuff like this, did he come up on Saul before the Philistines got to him? Got the crown off? Don't know. He was obviously there on the battlefield. But he comes back and he lies about it. For his own glory, for his own, build him up. Now, how does that fit to us? We ever tempted to make something sound a little bit better than it is sometime? Make ourselves look a little bit better, maybe, than what we are sometime? Maybe tempted to do that. If I put a little different twist on it and build myself up just a little bit with the story here, look what I might get out of it over here. This is something that we face that can very easily apply to us. Maybe we don't come out and say, I'm going to tell this real bold-faced lie like this guy did. It'd be very easy to make things just a little bit better than they are. Make me look just a little bit better than I am, but I want that next promotion, or I want that extra this, or I want that extra favor here for that. Just to brag or boast just a little bit about something what I did. Beyond what it really is. Anybody got a comment? Thought about that? Anybody? Right. Yeah, what Al said is still promoting myself, I may cut my competition. I may cut those around me down. And the business world, you step on everybody else, get the top type thing. Put everybody else down. Tell what you can about them, make them look bad, which is just the same thing as this. You build yourself up, you put them down. Same type form. Yeah. Yeah. Let's don't go too far. Mike says, yeah, politics is that way all the time. That's about right. Unfortunately. Okay. All right, anybody got thoughts about this? Here's another one. And this is a biggie. See, I read Matthew 5, 43, 45 for us. Right, please. Go read this from Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, about loving your enemies. Let's think about David and Saul. Tim? I want somebody to explain to me how David could write that lament that he wrote in the last half of 2 Samuel chapter 1 about Saul. That's it. That's it. What had Saul done to David for the last, several years? Tried to kill him. Somebody on the screen up here, 21 times. It's listed here. I don't know if they got that number. Might have got that number from somewhere, but 21 times. Okay. Saul had tried to kill David. I mean, that's not an enemy. But yet when Saul is killed, what does David do? Tears his clothes, weeps, writes this lament about Saul, and who he was, and how special he was, and all he had done. We treat folks who hurt us like that. Folks that do us dirty, if you will. Nobody's trying to kill us, I don't think. All the time. Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah. And we've mentioned that. Y'all stay in the country ever a while. Yeah. Yeah, we have talked about that. Who he was, he could never look at him as his enemy. Why? Because the Lord's behind all this between Saul and David. Okay. Now, this enemy come in, and now, but one more point about that before we go to. We've also seen several times when David did not take vengeance and said the Lord will take care of him. We've noted that several times in the last also. That David did not say he'd take vengeance on something that the Lord handled. In this case, that young man straight out lied to him. David took care of him. So he was guilty right on the spot. But David, his attitude towards Saul is just amazing. If somebody's trying to do it, it's bad to Saul to him. That's possible. That's possible. That's right. That's the point. David didn't care whether he told the truth, didn't tell the truth. That's beside the point. David didn't know if he told the truth or not. David hadn't read 1 Samuel 31. Okay. He wasn't there. Okay. He said, I killed him, and you kill the Lord's anointed. That's all that matters. Whether you lied about it, beside the point. I don't know if you are or not. Okay. But you shouldn't have done what you said you did. Your own mouth has made you guilty. Okay. And one more point here we'll look at right quick. And that's the Jebusites. People of Jabesh-Gilead. David gives them special recognition because of what they had done in taking care of Saul and Jonathan's body. And he makes a special point about that. We've got maybe a minute left there. Mike, you got yours there. Read Philippians 2:25-30. Right quick. And this is showing honor to whom honor is due, all of what they've done. Okay, go ahead.
But I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, the messenger, the one who ministered to my needs. He was longing to be all with distress because he had heard of the good news.
Okay, Paul writing about Epaphroditus builds him up, gives him the honor he's due because what he had done for Paul. Okay, he's writing this letter back to the Philippians here. They know him, they know who he is, and he wants to be sure he gets the credit that's coming to him. So Paul writes this into this letter back to them. Honor to who honor is due. And that's the other passage up here about elders. And honor to whom the honor is due from that standpoint, that office there. But those who do what's right, those who serve faithfully, need to be honored for what they've done. Okay, I think the bell is rung. Just a kind of a short lesson here tonight, chapters 3 and 4. We'll read those, and we may look at some more of our drill type stuff there to fit in the time. Is there? Pretty short lesson, Wednesday night. Thank you.